Thanks.
No, sir. So the pressing question basically is that, you know, the industry is seeing, you know, a big player coming in, and I would, you know, you're asked this question on the con call all the time. Specifically from your perspective, what we're trying to understand is that how do you see yourself getting into this? Will you focus on market share? Will you focus on margins? Because you've seen a peak margin of about 18% in your business in 2021, right? So how should we think about your strategy now that we're so close to it? And
so, in terms of growth, we are quite hopeful that it will be able to stay here for the last 20 years. We've been growing volume and value around 14%. I mean, slightly higher, 15%. In the last 5 years also, it's on the similar line. This year has been a little bit of a pressure. We're still at around 11% in volume. But that's where we are. We expect that, you know, the competitor who comes in, obviously, it's not an easy thing to do. And if it's a market, maybe to have a lot of things have to fall in place to get it. Just to give you an example, right now, even in India, we have been there for years, and so has been market innovation. So there are two markets, Lucknow and Kanpur, which is 80 kilometers away from the city. In Lucknow, we are market leader with 50% plus market share. And in Kanpur, Asian is the leader with 53% market share. Right, and this has been there for the last 15 years. Each one of us trying to break into the other's area to, you know, dislodge, right? But it is not so easy. It's difficult for the entire system, unlike, say, an electronic board or an FCG, right? Demand can be driven in a new product innovation comes in and create some disruption there. Here, you will rarely find that. So what you have to do is to work with all the influencers, so that you see them visiting there, you've seen for years associated with certain brands and companies, and it's difficult to crack that. Then you have the applicator who is used to certain parts and bags and products. Then you have builders, contractors, you know, associated architects, interior decorators. Each one of them, the consumer, of course, right? In that particular way. They are all used to certain brands. And to break all of them together, it takes time, effort, energy. Sometimes you succeed, sometimes you don't. So it's a slow, steady process. You know, nothing happens overnight. And therefore, you know, gradually people get used to it. And then some of the brands are able to penetrate better than others. But also very smooth. It's a grinding process. Just to give you an example, another Bangladesh, right? Which is in the market quite similar to India. I'm not talking to you about Australia or something. It's a market dynamics. Bangladesh is very similar to India. For years, Bangladesh is the market leader. We have a 58% market share there. Right? And Asian Paints is the number two at 14% in Bangladesh. And they've been struggling for the last 15 years. So far, if you just study their PNL, they made profit only 1 year. Every year, they either zero losses, like that it happens. Right? And yet, they are not able to gain market share. They've tried everything. Price import, advertisement import, you know. With their strength, their product mix, basket, everything is there, nothing else. So it sounds very easy. But it's a difficult market to penetrate. Because of these, all these elements, we need to be brought in together. It takes time. Unless the other party makes some blunders, mistakes, you know, there are some issues which crop up, right, and you take advantage of
it. But now that they have deployed so much capital, what do you think will happen over the next 2 years? See, I agree with you that it's an industry with a high entry barrier, especially when it comes to
the again, now, if they had played, they would have deployed in staging. Would have deployed in staging. So now they have put in, so they have to do something to show some results. I presume, you know, there will be, and it's not, they haven't been a price player even in the cement package. They have Ultratech, which is a pretty big player. The biggest, I think, is now Alpar. But they haven't played the price game there, right? To a large extent, of course, that is a different industry and cartelization and all that. But industry is, those things are not there, right? So there will be a little bit of fight which will go on. Some skirmish will happen on the ground. You know, they will, in the commodity side of the products, they will try to play the price game maybe. That's the possible scenario. On the other side, which is the luxury, semi-luxury, premium, playing the price game is actually detrimental, you know, because the image is lowered, you know, it doesn't serve the purpose. And consumers really don't care, you know, whether it is, you know, 2% less or 5% less in that way. It's brand land and much more, you know, awareness and it is there, it's fine, right? So they will have to spend money building up awareness, building up brand. It takes time. It takes possibly some years by which, you know, they will have to do that. At the same time, on the commodity side, the pricing might come into play. The challenges will be many, you know, even any new business, you know, the getting the distribution, getting all the influencers aligned. That has to be seen how much they are successful. So far, you know, all the companies, there have been numerous companies who have come into India. And almost all top international players are there in India today. Almost, I would say, you know, the top 10, I think 9 are operational in India, right? Exxon Mobil, which has been there for years, you know, ICI, which they acquired. They are number 2 or number 3 in the world. They've been operating. They have all the money. They have all the resources. They have all the technology. They have all the products. They are 1/3 at them. Right?
But so where they faltered over there was that they could not develop the kind of sales infrastructure and relationship with dealers that a domestic company like H&M you could do. Right? I think Alpha is the only one who was able to.
What stops them from doing that? Falter. So in this time, you can do it. Why can't Exxon Mobil do it?
Because their CEO keeps changing every 3 to 5 years.
Now, there's stability for the last 7 years now. And he's been there earlier at the same time also. So it's not as if that's been changing. And that hasn't changed. You know, even then, it has been at these levels. Kansai Nerolac is the number 5 in the world. They've been there for also many, many years. Again, no great ramp up has happened. Nippon Paints is number 4 in the world. They have been there for now almost 15 years. Nothing much has happened there and stuff. And none of them lack money, resources. They don't understand the market, actually, right? You know, Nippon is a leader in China, which is a market quite similar to India. They are leader in Singapore, they are leader in Thailand, they are leader in Malaysia. But in India, they haven't been able to progress much. And it is always typical of the paint industry. If in Thailand, if you go, the leader is a paint company called Toa, which has 50% share. Everyone is there. Agro, you know, PPG, this, that, because everything is nothing else. And their share remains at those levels. Like in India, Asian Paints remains at those high levels. The same Asian Paints can't do anything in Bangladesh, can't do anything in Singapore, can't do anything in Australia. They lost, and they do. They sold and came on. Right? So it's not that, you know, anything can work in the end. one has to understand that, you know, markets are different and categories are different, and it needs time to build. So we are not unduly worried for this time. So
how do you look forward to your growth companies in the same markets and then?
So for me, you know, I look at it, you know, in numbers. If you look at it, you know, so suppose we are growing at 14%, right? We have three big growth engines. You know, one is the distribution itself. We have got a fairly decent, strong brand. We are number two, the mind space that we. But, you know, we have in many places very weak representation on the ground. If we are able to extract this, so far better. Now, so earlier, getting that network was becoming difficult. We have figured out some ways which can help us to grow much faster in the weaker areas through our network. So the two, one is the distributor route, which we have started taking for the upcountry areas, and stores, which we have started taking for the urban areas. So this, for the last 1.5 years, has been giving us experiences which we conducted. We have found it successful, now we want to ramp it up.
So, just elaborate this a little bit, because when you say distributor route and store route, what do you mean by that?
So distributors are basically, you know, people who have a network of building itself, sometimes mostly hardware stores,
in tier 2, tier 3, tier 4
areas, whom we are tapping because our brand is there, known product, supply is not an issue. It's just that, you know, there is no distribution. Capitalize on that. That's one part. And in the urban centers, we are putting up stores to investors, to building it for people who are interested in getting into paint. So we nurture that. So it's sort of a, we call it local, dealer owned, but company operated stores. Local, right? So, okay. Yeah.
It's something like company owned showrooms.
Yeah. You know, so how it is invested, the money is coming from investor, and he earns, takes the credit base, etc. But the business is being run by the company, by us, actually. So that's a model which seems to be doing reasonably well in the cities, right? And we want to now see
it top 8 or 10 cities.
No, it can go up to grade 2, grade 3 also. All the depot towns which we have many 440 stock points and depot points. You know, so in those towns, we would like to look at, you know, going this route. You know, so many of these areas in the west and the south where we are relatively very weak, we would like to take this path. You know, so that's one.
How many stores are there?
You know, currently have now 500 already.
How many to be?
This is about probably 200 or so.
Sorry, how many stores we have?
500. We started this one, I think, for a year and a half. That's what has been the market and progress that we've seen at this scale. So this, so it's improved, definitely. Because all of these stores, you know, some of them have been seen dramatic, because in a small town, you had nothing and suddenly now have a very good representation. So this has worked much better. The stronger markets are fast, or the moderately strong markets are fast. Whenever we have the market share of 20% plus, this has really worked very well. So,
which is surprising because we are already doing well.
If you open, 20%, there's still a huge market and there are many pockets. And it's not surprising because there the awareness is there. We are not extracting it on the ground.
There is the potential, even
potential is, you know, quite high.
So just what was the genesis of going with POCO in terms of this?
So it was, you know, long time back, you know, in West Bengal, there was one town called Chandanagar, where, you know, we were not able to get in with, you know, so it was about 6 crore market. And we were wondering, you know, because we used to have one dealer. And he had a bad name for him. He used to sell some duplicate material, and, you know, everyone said, no, but their quality kharab, and no one was touching it, right? So out of frustration, we said, we put our own store. In fact, that store which we put up at the first stage was company-owned company-run. And it was not even dealer-owned company, it was called CocoSport. And then we worked on that model, fine-tuned it, and now understood what works, what doesn't work. We were selling in cash, no credit, right? Because we couldn't take the risk of giving credit in the market. And yet we had to sell. So what are the things that we can do? Of course, we saved a lot of money on the dealer margin, which we could pass on to replicate at some extent. When you do the dealer owned company operator, that margin is not saved. So you have to change the model a little bit. But it worked for us. We realized that, this is something, and we suddenly became a sort of a very strong number two player in that market with that store, right? Uh-huh. And then we see a potential, therefore, for growth, the store home. So that we will continue, so that's on the decorative side.
So when you say company operated, you just took a trained person in the store to manage the operation.
That's right. And there are some things that we do, which I find very unique, which works, for us. Right.
So this is 100% budget, no other brand.
100% budget. Complete. Okay. Complete exclusive store.
Is there one in Mumbai?
No.
You mentioned three brokers.
It's too expensive, most people. In Pune, there are six of them. Pune is a common study.
But ever since you've put this up, how much has your market share in South and West increased? Is there some direct correlation?
Market share increase in that town would have happened. But the town size is very large and we are insignificant, so I don't think, and really measure it in that way, but in those areas, wherever we put up, we were zero, and we have suddenly got a significant sale in those markets. Right. So from that perspective, if this can be scaled up, this will give us mind.
But have you thought of how many such stores you want to have over
there? We have some plans. It's an investment, so we have to invest. It's a good strategy, which is likely to work. So for us, that is one area of opportunity because we would like to. Our problem has been distribution network in that we would like to avoid. Second is in terms of construction and waterproofing.
This is going back to the growth in geography.
Yeah.
One solution is
the construction chemical and waterproofing business. That is currently at about, we will grow this year possibly at around 1,300 crores, right? Between us and which we acquired. STP is a company selling our tile products. It is in the waterproofing space for long years now.
Yes.
We acquired this company 3 years back.
Mm-hmm.
So that, us together, will be about that. And that is accelerating and growing at a very, very rapid pace, much faster than. So that is likely to continue. It's meaningful already, as you can see. On a 10,000 plus crores, 1,300 crores, it's almost like 12,000.
How much is it
growing faster?
How much is STP now?
Well, it's about 300 plus crores, right, out of this.
You better be now, I don't know the potential, you'll see one.
Yeah, thank you. So you will see that. I can see that. 350 odd crores will be there, possibly the payments here. So, total, I see this engine growing very rapidly. This is an engine which is likely to keep growing, keep accelerating further, because we still haven't gone into many of the categories fully. So there is a lot of opportunity here in this segment. The third category of growth for us is protective coatings and general industries. This is an industrial thing, and where we have been consistent leaders in India. We are the number one there, both in protective and general industries. Now, earlier days, there was not much infrastructure going around, and the industrial demand made in India thing was just about, scratching the surface. And so now it started growing much faster. So the opportunity for us being the leader is to grow with the industry. Right? So therefore, this is another opportunity which exists for us. So we see that, you know, we invest in these three, let the market do whatever it is doing in regions, right? We were in Calcutta. Headquarter in Calcutta, there is a rare company, first of all. And we are just out of the visual reach of most people. So that way, one way it is good, right? In the, you've been there for years, right? You know, and there were four companies there in Calcutta: ICI, Jensen Nicholson, Shalimar, and Berger. So three of them, in 2000, went away saying that there is a alone, you know, nothing works, you know, anyone thinks it's lazy, this, that, you know. So they went to Delhi NCR, all of them, Gurgaon, Noida. So Shalimar is today at 600 crores. Jensen Nicholson has collapsed. And also Noble, ICI, Word, we have seen it to help and so on, right? With all, you know, nothing we have. In technology, we had no money. We had nothing. But we have managed to grow. In spite of that, today we are the fourth largest player in Asia and seventh largest in decorating in the world. Being in Calcutta and fighting. We are fighters, basically, you know. You know, with limited resources, how do we fight, right? And we've been doing this for years, right? And so newcomer coming in for us is not much of a threat because we've been doing this only, right? You know, MNCs, international players, other domestic players, including the leader, we've been finding slowly, slowly, you know, and, you know, we've created a distinct gap now between the second and the third player, more than 3,000 crores gap. You know, is significantly higher than where we were, say, 6 years back or 7 years. So it's been a continuous effort. You know, as I said, you know, we keep innovating, looking at things on the ground, what will work in India, what should we be doing. So therefore, we are not scared, you know, or afraid. But yes, you know, there is a probable thing that it will impact everyone, right? So, for example, say, it's a 60,000 crore industry.
Mm.
We've been growing at about, so the industry has been growing at about 12%, say. So, you know, next year, 7,200 crore would have come to the industry at last, in which almost 50% is with Asian, and 20% is with African, roughly, right? So, for us, 20% of 7,000 crores would have been coming to us, right? Did you say 1,400 crores? Out of that 1,400 crores, you know, now say the newcomer comes in, very ambitious target of 2,000 crores, it achieves, right? So 20% of that is 400 crores, which we lose, right? So instead of getting 1,400 crores, we get 1,000 crores, normal. So our growth rate will shift to 8% instead of 14%, 13%, 4% gap will have. It's not as if we are going to collapse or something. 4%
is worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario, right? 4% reduction.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to get my 4% back. I see construction, chemical, distribution, and protective and GI giving me that at least 250 to 300 crores. At least
200 to 250.
250 to 300 crores additional. So we have first effect, which is about 0.5 to 1% in $10, you will get 1%. That is not going to shake, nothing is going to alter much. We are very confident the things will continue. That's how it is. Right? So I don't see major issues. But then, yeah, people will keep on saying, you know, certain entering, I don't know what will happen to the industry. Yes, next year industry will be under pressure largely because the margins were the highest this year. There's going to be, you know, reduce the prices, adjusted the price downwards. So it will be 0.5%, 1% erosion and in the equation of this margin.
So 17-18%
for us. We have always said 15-17 we will live with. We will come down to 17 or 16 maybe, you know, that's it.
Are you anticipating margins falling below 15%?
No.
15% would rather come for 50%. and you will be making a market.
Yes. So what we internally keep debating is that as long as the industry profit pool is very healthy, there is no reason for the people to actually back out of the game, right? So
they won't.
Right? Now that they put so much money.
There's no question of them backing out with the money that they have put in.
Mm.
It's the ego, it's the prestige issue, such a large group. They don't want to back out. They will remain.
But then how should we think about from a profit pool perspective, like had Asian and Burjo kept their margins like a little lower, like the way it used to be, if you remember, 10-12 years back, the margins were much lower, so people just couldn't do anything.
Right.
Now we're just like giving space for them to actually perform.
No, so, I think things have changed a little bit also. But any newcomer who comes in also, if you see JSW, for example, right? Suffering losses in about 100 of those last week, and this year also they are talking of coming to normalcy, but they sell at prices to themselves, to their own account at a much higher price. So that way, if you want to fiddle with the accounts and make it profitable, that's a different way of looking at things, right? But overall, margins have been under pressure and they have not been able to scale up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Even for example, just I gave you the example of Bangladesh. Bangladesh, Virgin Bangladesh has 17-18% efficiency. It's available on the net. You can search that and see. And Asian has been 0%. So it's not easy to make money unless you have a reasonable scale coming up. If suppose they get a reasonable scale also, and they do get reasonable profit, anyway they would have stayed in the business, irrespective of whether they got profit or they don't get profit, right? It would have been a disaster if they didn't get profit, and they would have really then gone berserk, right? Because they would have done all sorts of funny things, which is not a good thing for the industry as a whole. This way, they will also be happy, so one more player co-opted into the game. And I don't see that, it's really a spoiler as such. Because if you try to put too many things and say that, iska sale bhi nahi hoga, iska profit bhi nahi hoga, to wo toh kuch karega na, sir. So you'll become desperate, suicidal, right? You don't want that either. So let it grow, at a normal pace.
In South and West, particularly, there will be, dealers where Fila goes and says that, why don't you keep my product as the second or third brand? And considering that your market share in that market is not as much, they will obviously not display Asian Paints, but they might consider them to be the second or third brand. Are you doing something particularly in those markets where you're not very strong in terms of dealer incentives?
That's true. So, it was both ways, right? Sometimes, and then fortunately for us, most of the recruitment that they have done is ex-Asian people.
Yeah.
So they know the Asian guys, the Asian dealers, and the relationship is with Asian dealers. Warrior dealers, everyone has tried in the past to break the Warrior dealers, but we have got a very strong bonding. Because in those markets, they have stayed with us for years because they have this bonding, they see a lot of benefits for themselves, that's why they have stuck to us. And nothing is going to change suddenly, because of this reason, right? Yes, there is a possibility that, in some places where we have number two brand, as a number two brand, it's another level which might get it. It's a possibility. Right? So for that, as I said, we have our own plans, that we grow, like in Nippon has displaced in some of the places in Tamil Nadu for us, right? So that's fine. It's not as if we have continued to grow. In fact, this year we are growing much faster than Nippon in Tamil Nadu. Because you get other counters, you get other people to work on it. There is a lot of opportunity also. And one of the things which will happen possibly for us, is that when an Asian is broken in some of the counters which are monopolistic scale, that opens up, a lot of the other courage is given to other dealers. Today they are scared. If they see success, with any of the brands, like in Nippon. So now that Nippon counters, some of them have come to worship. Right? Because now they think, I'll burn the bridge with Asian anyway. Might as well look at some of the other brands. So it works. Ultimately, it's not as if, it's a mathematical science or something, X equal to Y, and some equation is there. It doesn't work like that. Right? So ultimately, we still gain. If this fear goes away of the mind of the dealer, then they start experimenting with other brands, we get an opportunity also to get.
As far as now that real estate is finally picking up, we kind of believe that the cycle for building material like construction chemicals actually improves. In that context, do you still think that the industry will grow at 12%, or it can grow much faster such that we don't have to worry about your growth coming down to 8%? It can still be at 12%.
The real estate cycle is upwards. You are right on that. Construction chemicals for sure, it's see a better growth rate going forward. On a larger base of it, will go further. So there is no doubt. That's actually important. That's why I said we should be able to restore that almost everything. In case, the worst case scenario also they do, mainly when I mean, they reach this 2004 target, still we don't see any major problems happening. So for us at least, you know, I'm talking in the job of Azure, there I see no major problem. Slippage here and there, you know, can be made up very easily. So the activities that I see.
But if you look at the fast, in terms of real estate cycles, does the industry growth rate accelerate beyond 1.5-2 times GDP, or it typically?
It doesn't, you know. It has been, sometimes it's very fast, you know. In a particular, let's say, the COVID period, we had grown by volume, by value, by about 8-9%. Even though it was a very tough year. The next year, we bounced back and grew by 24%. Right? So on average, that happens, you know. So if there is a dip in certain year, it is normally bounced back in the next year. So that's how we have seen in the past. The real estate cycle, you know, is helping. It's only a small portion of the total business. You know, it's about 15-17% overall. New construction. Now, talking new construction, big new construction. The new construction maybe 25% plus. Including the small the houses in the country areas, etc., which keep coming up. But, you know, the big new construction, the cities, which you see the flats and the complexes, you know, that is about 40-50% possibly of the total as of now. But it's increasing. So it is growing faster. The portion is also going up. I see a lot of potential in that, you know, because the cycle is on the upswing. So this is typically 4, 5, 6 years it lasts, and then it goes down. It's a very cyclical category. And then everything seems and looks very gloomy for 2-3 years, and then again it tends to move on, right? So I think it's now on the upswing. It's only 2 years which has happened, and paint is going to come in, normally we come in at the last stage. So I see at least 2 years decent growth happening in this segment. You know? So that get protect also, you know, some of the concrete erosion in our case happening. You know, so we are reasonably present in the project sector. That will give us some comfort.
And the margins in projects for you are as good. I mean,
it's less.
Like half of what you would make in deco? Or?
No. That much. It's about 2-3% difference in from the pure retail variety. Let me just manage it. I'll see that really. Creating a distortion in the overall scheme of things. Because 15% is nothing. 15% that grows much faster than the retail there.
And is Asian very aggressive in that market?
It is. No, mostly.
Okay. What sort of growth potential do you see in the project segment?
About a differential of about 4-5% from normal to project.
And like Grasim coming in, because for sure that, you know, they will be trying to get into the project segment as well. What sort of margins would you then anticipate?
So I actually don't see major impact. Maybe, you know, if some categories 1-2% impact will happen, because, you know, they are already in projects, there are 3 or 4 products we sell mostly. And some of it is much more of it is relationship pains. Songs and then projects which we have done for that particular group. So they are quite comfortable doing it. So rates are reasonably competitive, they give you a preference. I don't see major changes happening here, though they may try that too, you know, from price.
And then cement relationship, because
project business also starts with a lot. Initial stage could be a tech system and engineering.
There is an advantage.
Yeah. So
for some of the cases, some of the regions where they are not a very big vendor there. So let's say we'll have booth, you know, see the normal thing, you know, that they don't get engaged very much in the project side because the markets are lesser. They're very much stronger in the retail. Retail side, the IHB, they call it, individual house builders. So they are stronger there. Two activities around that much more. There will be less presence in big projects. Big projects are dominated mainly by all the local strong players.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have so much of retail presence, they don't do so much of branding, so they are over dependent on the project business. So it's not something which they have a fantastic, you know, equation all over the place. They have some relationship, obviously, they will exploit that. Not very
strong. If you look at your brand, old brand, maybe in agriculture, better tools, etc., what percentage of your portfolio are those strong dominant areas with other industries, etc.?
A significant portion we've been building on that, you know. So, what we have done is, in a strategic call, we have invested much more on these two. Putting money there, conscious calling it taking going forward the next 2 years, we'll be investing in these two brands much more strong. So the third one which we are investing, started investing, is Home Shield, which is the so this will remain a significant portion of our business. What we have said, a significant part. These two are even bigger in size and technology will be therefore comfortable across this spectrum. It's only some of the very common Korean based products. There are also, you know, maybe one or two products where size gate can be created in India as possible that can protect our markets.
And try to say that of course the 50% of your portfolio, which was actually material.
Yeah, exterior will be significant, almost like, you know, except for Walmart styles, anything else is all branded. So that's for the Antidas, long life, all our branded products.
Okay. And historically, Vijay always used to say that the always target is 1-2% growth from acquisitions, filling gaps and trying to enter new acquisitions.
That's right.
Is there still an opportunity over there or lastly?
No, that's all there are opportunities. Actually, looking at those, possibly in the construction chemical school, there is some of it.
When you say construction chemical, it's a very
wide category. And that's why I said, you know, we are looking at some possible options. So there are possibilities of buying people, value or volume of different kind of things. Either maybe some products which we can take it all in India and therefore give gains to us very fast. It can be maybe sometimes on the industrial category also there is a possibility that we have really strong there and we are a leader in the industry. So we need a plan for some proteins and very well for us. Similarly, if there are some such new companies which are doing well in categories, they can definitely look at the law.
But in spite of what you said on how difficult the market is to track, you have consistently gained share. That is what we see over the last 6 years. When we talk to trade, I mean, somehow despite the, I mean, beyond the product and innovation that you have done, very consistent feedback is you are great in terms of sizing, discounts, and sales speed. How difficult is that? That doesn't seem so able to do that. Problem always have a, I would say, higher discount, which is why you have that margin gap situation.
Yeah, so the margin gap is on 3 points, you know, because it's like 4 odd percentage if you see. 5% is what you see on paper. Part of it is because, you know, our industrial businesses are lower margin businesses. So that's about 20% if you discount that. The gap is much narrower. Industrial, which is having a margin which is
lower than.
If you compare apple to apple, which is deco to deco, like if you compare Indigo and ACM, they are 100% almost deco. So if you compare our decorating, the industrial, if you look at it, you know, like Kansai, it has a lower profit margin. Even industrial, you don't get that much. The margin with B2B is very tough, you know, because negotiation happens with the purchaser, obviously, then the use of anything. So we are actually closer. Now the gap is much closer than what you see on paper. But the gap arises on three reasons. You know, one of course is the scale. So they have a scale advantage, you know, purchase, they buy at a cheaper price, they buy much more. Anything, you know, which is over it, you know, it gets shared on a much larger base. So you know they tend to have cost which is on the lower side. So the scale advantage is there, which is accounting for possibly another spot percentage. Then they have, you know, branding which is more stronger than us. You know, they spend 3 times our money, so they are 3 times our size. Right? So that's not going to change much. And we can't say, okay, like we like, I will also spend 600 crores. We don't have that money to pour it, right? So we do it in steps, right? So if you were zero, you've now come to 200 plus crores, right? So we, every year we keep increasing. This year we in fact increased it disproportionately by 45% almost. And because it was a good year in terms of profit, so we thought, let's jack up the spends on advertisement. And then therefore, we have, you know, consistently taken this up. So the brand power holds. So they have a 1% advantage there or a 2% advantage. What you are saying is price discounting. The discount, in fact, you know, surprisingly, if you take a year back, Asian Paints was much cheaper than us. Much cheaper. And if you see the second quarter result of last year, you will see that they were 4% below us in EBITDA. Plus in one quarter, right? They were madly discounted. And in Patti, which is a discounted product, they are consistently discounting below us. So it's not as if, you know, we discount cross products. So in some of the product categories in some markets, like the West or the South, we have to do it because of our weakness. Otherwise, why will anyone invest in birthday? Right? So that's something which we have done. But overall, if you look at it, in the East, for example, we might be charging a premium over them in many markets. Right? So we have stand and do it. And do it, yeah, actually. In the brands which you mentioned, Indigreen and Antidust, we are 12% above on BPL alone over Asian Paints. Right? Here are prices. And we sell at that higher price premium consistent in the market. Right? Where we can build our strength, where we have managed, and otherwise so we would have been nowhere in the picture in terms of profitability. Right? But we have built up strength, brand strength there, and we are able to command a premium over them by 10 to 12%. They have consistently remained below that. Right? In fact, at one point in time, the differential has become 20%, so I have to cut my price to keep the gap at 10 12%. They've been trying to hit this segment with the price too, but haven't succeeded, and we remain a leader.
Sorry, which segment is Easy Cream and Anti-Dust. In UP, if you want to talk about how the process after the new plant has come in and cost saving for the
projects that you are looking at. So, you know, Sandila plant came on stream. As of now, we have utilized about 37-38% of the total capacity. All lines have now become operational. And gradually, this will get scaled up. And so, this year we have taken a hit because, you know, we have recruited all the people, so some one-time expense, and the volumes are not there.
for that reason. To that extent, because we have deliberately made the plant at a larger scale so that it lasts and we don't have to keep investing in plants. So the next year, we get an advantage because this will scale up to about 55-60% utilization with the same manpower. So therefore, cost-wise, cost per liter will go down as far as Sandila plant is concerned. The advantage is also that freight cost is there in the saving because when we are supplying to UP, it's an advantage. We will also get tax benefits, but that won't come next year. So that will come the year after. Right? So we won't see it next year, but year after the flow comes, starts happening. So that will be also adding up to the. So that's Sandy guys.
What are the tax benefits?
GST, you know, so then whatever you sell in the UP,
they put tax credit.
And they give you,
why is it not this year? Because you have already the amount of input tax credit, which is already accumulated on that capital which we have invested in, it's yet to exhaust.
So, volumes have not been there to fully exhaust whatever we have because we spent a lot of money on the equipment itself. So, there is a lot of GST involved there. But, you know, so therefore that needs to be exhausted first. That takes about typically 1 year, 1.2 years.
First, you started a plant from zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, the entire raw material that came in, it also added to the input tax credit. So, the entire CapEx input tax credit plus the raw material input tax credit, the whole thing, it's a one time adding. It will exhaust over the once the production increases.
Yeah. From next year, what is this figure?
You have to see and observe.
Probably in the range of 30%.
Year after next year, not next year.
But this will be part of the income. This won't come into 24, 25, 26.
And this year, it's like a negative drag on margin because of demand. How much is that?
For 50 years. Next year, you expect a positive.
That will get neutralized.
In the year after, it will actually
that will get optimized.
Any view on this GAGM project by Station Space?
Backward integration.
No, so it's basically sort of a cost reduction exercise. This RB polymer is a part of the putty. This is a raw material called redispersible polymer.
Redispersible
polymer, which is called RB polymer. This is used in putty, almost like 25% of the cost of putty is this particular element. It can be made via two routes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is through the VAM loop, the other is acrylic. Right. So they have decided to go the VAM loop and they have to get from Reliance. It's a captive player, only one player is there, you have to supply it. Then you have to convert it into those redispersible polymer products, which is what they are doing. Right? Now, we have taken a different route cycle. We go by that drilling too. Similar cost saving will happen for us as well, a little bit. But it will be, we will not be investing in that. So that it will give some saving in the future. So that's one area where they are investing some money.
But is this substantial for them to gain some kind of competitive advantage? And we make our own emulsions today.
Almost everything. We buy about 10%, you know, the highest in South Asia and also buy. But other things, Sainas, Sullivan, Sainas is the Uttar Pradesh plant, we were making it. We were not making it at 24-25, we will make it on our own.
Is
sir, wasted a little fiscal lead to approximately 4% margin benefit for them.
I don't see that 4% will come, but I don't know what calculation they have done. They must have done something, but 4% is very, very difficult because party them also will be possibly around 10% sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think that 8%, how much of saving you can see on an agreement which is anyway costing 25%, in that you are trying to save some money and you are not going to save the full money. So it will be minuscule. This is the mathematics, and that is impossible to have 4% saving only to this one. They may have spoken about all the other things which they are doing, including the formulation, products, etc. And they may say that, you know, we may save 2%, 3%, 4%, I don't know what they are. How well, where they have spoken about it. But only this element, no chance.
So, slightly controversial question, but
yes.
Why doesn't Berger and Kansai think about industry consolidation such that they can be much more formidable players in North and East and then compete with Eastern and the rest of the business? Just hypothetical, but
right.
Isn't this like a great opportunity?
Not,
when,
you know, I don't see, it can be an opportunity. Yeah. Depends on, you know, how people view. So, internationally for us, we are in India and we have no ambition to.
At least the India business comes in.
Yeah, it's possible. But, you know, someone has to initiate, someone has to, you know, both of them, both our chairman and their owners have to agree. Because for them, it might be an issue because, you know, it may be such that for them, India is a very, very important market. Almost like sort of 60%. Their value, possibly 50% of the value comes from this one market. The total value that is there outside worldwide. So for them, you know, if they say now we merge and, you know, it become a small part of the overall entity, because right, if they merge, you know, they are half our size or less than half the market cap. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they merge, you know, they will become lesser than us in size, and, you know, it will become basically budget run operation. So that might not be very palatable,
mm-hmm.
right? It depends, you know, sometimes people take this first. They don't get permit unless something happens in that. So, difficult to say at least.
And sir, I remember talking to Shrijit about this a few years back. You guys had got a little aggressive in terms of auto coating segment. Has that segment been growing very well for you? Because that market was entirely dominated by Kansai. That market was entirely dominated by Kansai, and Shrijit always told us that there's an opportunity because the players are looking for a number two on the payment side.
So we have companies there actually. Our one which is focused on moving the commercial vehicles, tractors, etc. And then we have a joint venture with Nikon for the SUV and car. SUV and car is growing rapidly. Nikon, they were looking for an alternate on this Kansai, Suzuki, Honda, Toyota. So they got increasing because they do supply worldwide. So they quickly they got an entry and then they are doing quite well. Right? So that is going at a fast pace. The two wheeler category and the commercial vehicle category, the category itself was having trouble.
Yeah.
But now it is going well, and we are doing slightly better than, I would say, Kansai in many of the accounts. That new shares and the response. Because they were looking at another option. You know. So there is a growth rate which is slightly higher possibly than Kansai in this category. We have become a number two player with that. Joint venture is to add up the sales. We are a clear number two now in India.
But have you taken material market share from Kansai, or it's just like small inroads?
No, in the cars, I think material market share.
Got it.
My margins are fine. What sort of ROICs are we targeting at the minimum level below which we would not be wanting to go, given that competition is coming in?
I would love to do different thing. We have
we maintain a certain level beyond which we don't want to go down.
Okay.
We haven't really calculated that about that. We want to keep to ourselves.
Okay. You know, on any
because we have some policies like we don't go beyond a point. If you see the basic, our putty prices are much higher than issue.
I have another meeting.